So today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, 24th chapter, beginning at the first verse. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that these blessed words of Scripture, this critical moment in salvation history and in the development of our faith and our own salvation, be open to us today. And Lord, let us not be taken by the familiarity of this occasion. Let us share in the awe of these women and in the urgency of Peter as we approach the Scripture today. For the sake of your glory. Amen.
David Wood, in his prayer, I believe he mentioned or talked about familiarity. When we become very familiar with a statement, with a greeting, it loses its value or it becomes useless. For example, when you meet someone, you say, "Hi, how are you? How are you doing?" And then you turn around and you are gone before the person even responds or hears your question or your statement. A lot of times in church, we say things that they come so automatically because they are part of our Christian culture. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And sometimes I've watched programs where Christian programs where someone is preaching and people are saying amen, hallelujah, and they say those amens and hallelujahs in the wrong places. That's because it has become a way of doing Christian religion. Of course, we say Merry Christmas without even understanding what Christmas is. Many. Happy Easter, we receive all kinds of cards about Happy Easter, and if you want to be very technical, actually, you just wonder what does that mean, because Easter comes from the name of Estri, or which was a pagan goddess of fertility and things like that. So we use Christ is risen, and even that becomes an automatic response or a greeting without really meaning what we believe, because we sometimes don't even think what we say. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the cornerstone of Christian doctrine. And I often have thought about this, and I've said to myself, "Joseph, would you have been as happy or as relaxed or as peaceful, or would life have any meaning to you if you did not believe that Christ is alive and God is alive and He is in control and He is our sustainer and He is the one that gives you what you have?" And the answer always is, I don't think so. I would be a very miserable person if I did not have the hope of my and the assurance of my salvation, and if I did not believe that God is in control and that God is present right now here. And people say, "How do you know? You don't see God. How do you know that God is everywhere all the time?" Well, all I know is, being in the electronics business and being an electronics engineer, I know that the frequencies and all these waves that travel to bring us, to bring you, your cell phone pictures, your cell phone conversations are everywhere. And how can they be? I don't see any pictures. I don't hear any sound. But when you turn on your little computer, you get all that stuff. And if we can do it, mere human beings made of flesh, why wouldn't God be able to do it? I say to myself. And you know what? I'm pleased to see that technology obeys God's rules, not God obeys man's demands. It is mentioned directly 104 times or even more in the New Testament that Christ is alive and is risen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the one point that Apostle Peter emphasized in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Now, if Peter did not believe that Jesus was alive, he was lying. And if Peter did not believe that he had not seen and had not experienced the presence of Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have been able to write the things he wrote and give that wonderful message. I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is better documented and proven than the existence of many people in the history of the human race. Have you ever wondered what the words evangelical, evangelist, or evangel stand for? The original Greek word is evangelia or evangelia, which means good news, but it literally means, actually, good message announcement. An announcement of a good message, evangelio. In the Greek refers to the gospel. The Bible is, actually, the Greeks call this evangelio, which is the good news. The day of Christ's resurrection was a day of good news. Without the resurrection, there would be no lasting good news. But first, let's look at the events of the cross and after that cross. The upper room promised to the disciples, he said, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." That was an announcement he made and kept his promise. And then we see the betrayal by Judas and the trial before Pilate. The crucifixion and Jesus' last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Luke 23. The despair of those who came to the tomb. Then the resurrection. What a power! I mean real power. Let's look at this power. I call it the AAA power. Or AAA. It's interesting because having prepared my message and reading the Times magazine, I believe, this morning that comes, I saw a picture of a cup, and on it were the words, the letters AAA, and underneath was the AAA something. And I said, boy, they must have read my message. There is a AAA power in the message this morning. But this is not because of the message, but because the power is there. And unlike the batteries, more A's you put, smaller the batteries get. There's a AA and then the AAA, which is smaller. This, more A's you put, bigger it becomes. First A of the AAA is the power of the resurrection, or the power of the resurrection is an awesome power, or almighty power. First A, awesome, almighty power. The stone was rolled away. It takes human power to move a huge stone, but human power cannot raise a dead person, no matter what kind of power that is. It is true that it did take power to move that stone, and it wasn't human beings, it was the power of God. But even that opening of the door, if you wish, rolling of the stone is not such a great power in comparison with the power of resurrecting Jesus from the dead. The body of Christ was gone, raised from the dead. This is the age of power. Cars, planes, spacecrafts, powerful machines and equipment. They all have power. The power of knowledge, scientific breakthroughs come in the news daily. Nuclear power, useful but also destructive. Yet all these powers are so limited, so conditional, and subject to all kinds of human moods and inadequacies. On the other hand, the power of resurrection is the greatest of all powers. This is almighty power. Who can raise a dead from the dead? This power restores life, emotional, spiritual, physical, and eternal life. What can science do in a cemetery? Not very much. They can dig better graves, they can make better stones, they can create all kinds of situations where you go there and it looks good. But they cannot raise the dead person from the grave. Only God can do that. And we all have buried loved ones. I know that here we have so many that I have been to the funeral, or we've done funeral services for those who died. And I know that we as a family buried all our loved ones before us. And our hope, blessed hope, is that power, the power of resurrection that will resurrect us all to be together. But in the meantime, in the same time, we believe that these people who died and were put in the grave are not dead but alive because of Jesus, because He is alive. This power restores life. The power of the Son, Jesus. You may say, well, you're giving us too many verses this morning, but I want to base this message, this morning base message on verses rather than my own understanding of the Bible. And I would like to read to you a few more verses from John 10 and verses 17 and 18. The reason, and I quote, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." The power of the Father is seen here. In Ephesians 1:19 we read, "And His incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms." Then we see the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is present right here in these three verses. The power of the Son, Jesus, the power of the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:4 says, "And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, the first A was the almighty power. The second A is the power of the resurrection, which is amazing power. Almighty, awesome, and now amazing power. Amazing. This is the second A of the triple power. Here is power to save the human soul. Amazing grace. When yesterday I was listening to a Christian program and someone sang Amazing Grace, and I didn't understand the language until I realized that it was being sang in the indigenous language of one of our indigenous people here in Canada. And it sounded so wonderful even in that language. Amazing grace. There is no hope apart from the resurrection, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is no hope for anyone else. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 to 19, we read, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." And that has stuck in my mind from my teenage years. If only for this life I'm going to be a Christian, then that's miserable. If only for this earth, on this earth, in this life of 10, 20, 100 years, I'm going to practice a religion, I'm going to be praying, I'm going to be going to church, I'm going to be reading the Bible, I'm going to be doing all these things so I can be blessed for this life only, or in this life only, and then there's nothingness, then why should I do all that? Why should I go to church? Why should I believe in anything? Why should I live a life that some people may feel is miserable and deprived? But I know that's not true, because my soul, my spirit, the nature, the Bible, everything points to eternity and eternal life. And because I believe that Jesus is alive and God is alive right now, I can live a life that is full of joy and peace and eternal hope. If only for this life we have hope, the writer says, in Christ we are to be pitied more than all men. The amazing power of Christ saves. His life was the perfection needed to save. His death was the payment needed to save. His resurrection was the power needed to save. Perfection, payment, power. The angels asked the woman who went to Jesus' tomb, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? We were all spiritually dead." Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Anyone can come to Christ and receive life. No case is too difficult for him. Hebrews 7 says, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." The same invitation is extended to you too. Come to receive life. And I believe this invitation has been accepted by many, and people have responded and have found that peace and joy that resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus brings in their life. But also there are those who make fun of our faith, who have many doubts about the whole faith business, as they say, and they just think that we are being religious activists or whatever you want to call us, and we just need a crutch so we won't stumble and fall in our life on this earth. But believe it or not, you need God, because every one of us was created with a vacuum in our hearts, in our life, yearning or shouting or crying out to find God and a purpose for life. Without God, there is an emptiness. The third A is the power of the resurrection, which is available power. And that is available power. Power is worthless unless it is available. Power plants must have a lot of power to spare. And we have Hydro-Québec here, which provides electricity for all of us. But power plants must be wired to homes and factories, or they are useless. Can you imagine having a huge factory that produces or utility that produces electricity, megatons of electricity, but they don't have the lines or the wires to carry that power to our homes. These factories, these utilities are useless. Hydropower, atomic power, whatever power may be available, but you need to connect to that power plant to be able to have power. Power must be transmitted to be of any use of in our lives. But power must also be received to be useful. You may transmit your power. You may install wires. You may install underground huge cables to bring the power to the household of people. But unless they connect to that power remains useless. Well, God is there. The power of God is available. And the power of God has come to our household, if you wish, right here in the church, right in our hearts and minds. Yeah, but you can't believe it. Yeah, but who has seen God? Oh, yes, but you know, how many religions there are? Which one should I follow? Oh, yes, but I never seen God. And you know, so on and so forth. And people, billions of people, have deprived their soul from the joy of peace, joy and eternal life, because their brain cannot understand God. Well, it's like saying, how do I know that piece of wire, metal, can run my furnace? How can I know that piece of wire can amplify the sound? How can I know? I don't see anything. Well, you don't see anything, but it's there, available. Just stick your fingers in there and see whether there is power or not. Well, stick your fingers into the presence of God and see the power of God is available. To receive that power, we need to receive it by connecting with God. God has made resurrection power available to all of us. Are you tempted? Ask for resurrection power. Are you depressed? Ask for resurrection power. Are you defeated? Ask for resurrection power. Do not put off your salvation for fear you cannot live this new life. Our living Lord will help you live your life for Him. Resurrection power makes it possible. Trust the one with resurrection power to save you. Ask God for resurrection power to be able to live your life for Him. The resurrected Christ is the only one who can give life, eternal life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, Jesus is not on the cross. And no, Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is alive. He has life and gives life. What also can be more important than life? What can be more important than life? Now go and tell everywhere and to everyone that Christ is alive. And He brings life into those and to those who connect, who accept Him, who invite Him in their lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence here this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You for touching our hearts and minds this morning. May the Holy Spirit revive each one of us. And may the Holy Spirit answer the questions and deal with the doubts that we have. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sustaining us. We thank You for helping us to continue our lives and our journey. May this day be the beginning or the start of a brand new life, connected with You and to You and being filled with Your presence. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.